It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we're talking this morning with Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the Executive Director of the Ingham County Animal Control. And Jamie, before the break, we were starting to talk about some of the investigations where you've actually succeeded in getting some arrests made, but the issue pertained to pit bulls. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because you have been at a conference recently where that issue came up, and one of the things we've seen here in Lansing have been some issues with police shootings of pit bulls, and again, just the whole issue seems to wrap around that breed. So what's going on with the Lansing area regarding pit bulls and fighting and all of that?
Well, you know, as everyone knows, we have a large population of pit bull and bull terrier breeds, because pit bull actually is not one specific breed. It's multiple breeds.
Right.
You know, the population at the shelter in any given day when you walk down it, it's probably 70% pit bull mix.
Sure.
You know, so we've got a lot of them. And so naturally, when you talk about dog bites, you talk about dog attacks, things like that, there's going to be a higher percentage of pit bulls, because 75% of the population we deal with is pit bulls.
Absolutely.
It's not the breed. People need to understand that.
Yeah.
It's the behavior, and the behavior is often associated with their environment, which is their owners.
Yeah, and I'll vouch that, you know, now that I've been in Lansing running our store there, I've never seen more pit bulls in my life. And I can tell you that the pit bulls I see that walk in my door anyhow are oftentimes and almost always just great
yep.
animals.
Absolutely. And you know what? You don't hear about the positive stories out there. There are a lot of pit bulls that are therapy dogs that are doing wonderful and amazing things in the community. All you're going to hear about is the pit bull that bit somebody.
Right.
You know? You're not going to hear about the fact that the dog was mistreated, kept on a chain most of its life probably, abused, and you're just not going to hear all the things that started before that got to that point.
Well, and you know the anatomy of that.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Yeah.
Comment a little bit about that. You know, when you do look into these bites and these other human welfare incidences, what do you find?
Well, you're talking about a dog that's never been socialized. Dogs that there may have been signs that this dog had some issues with aggression, and yet they still kept it. They still kept it in an environment that children had access to, things like that. It always comes down to irresponsible pet ownership. You talk about the owner that keeps letting the dogs out at night when it comes home from work and it runs the streets. And these are not issues that are anything specific. There's no unique trait to just a pit bull.
Sure.
I mean, they're all dogs that do these things.
Sure.
It's just, as I said, we have a lot more pit bulls in this community, a tremendous number of pit bulls in the community.
Right. And I think even in the conversations that I've had with Julia from the Capillary Humane Society, Julia Palmer, right?
Right.
is that even in their cages are oftentimes overwhelmed with pit bull
sure
breeds, correct?
Yep, absolutely. And I just came back from this national conference, the National Animal Control Association, which was a phenomenal conference, and it dealt a lot with the pit bull issue, because this is a national problem. And it talked about the myths, the problems, the education that's needed with individuals, that these animals are not the demons. They are actually the victims.
So who was at attendance at this particular conference?
There was a number of organizations from all over the United States that were at the conference.
And where was it located?
It was in Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't, and everyone says, oh, you got to go to Reno. Well, it snowed. Two of the 4 days.
Yeah.
But the National Canine Research Council had some wonderful information there about that. And I brought you this poster, and it shows this poster.
This is amazing.
Yeah,
this
16
amazing.
Dogs on it. And
yep. When I'm looking at 16 dogs on this poster, all but one, if you saw it walking at you down the streets, you know there's pit bull in that dog. You just know it, just because of our consciousness and what we've associated with certain.
They all look like pit bulls.
Yeah, they all look like pit bull. And yet, when you look at this, how many are pit bull?
Only three
out of 16 squares here. And we're going to post this up in our store. I think this is just fantastic.
It's an example of breed identification gone wrong.
Right. Yeah, and comment on how they actually determined whether or not these are pit bulls
or not. It's through DNA testing.
Blood-based DNA testing. Yep. So
it's amazing. It's a myth is what it is. Yeah. And it's really incredible because the one that is doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
And the ones that do aren't. So that really is amazing. Jamie, what were some of the myths that they uncovered at this conference?
Well, those of us that work in the field have long known it. You know, pit bull's jaws do not lock. It does not happen. So that was kind of amazing. And you know that pit bulls, you know, they're quiet just before they attack. That they are saying that is specific to just pit bulls. If a dog is quiet before it attacks, that's just a dog thing on that specific dog. That's not just pit bulls that do that.
Right. Right.
They talked about the aggression issue. They did a number of studies, and I don't have the specifics of it, but they also included 70 golden retrievers in the study of 416 dogs. And they showed that the pit bulls that were in that test had no more aggression than any of the golden retrievers that were there, as far as the standard testing that they did across the board to 416 dogs. It was just very interesting, and there's just so much we need to talk about when it comes to the bull terrier breeds.
Right. Fear-based pet identification is what historically has kind of like created the climate for which that we're in, correct?
Absolutely.
You know, bully breeds. When they refer to the term bully breeds, what do they mean, and how does that relate to the pit bull controversy? And is there any term for which we should be referring to any subgroup of dogs that have either the what we see here in the stature of these animals? You know, strong, assertive breeds.
The strong chest, the large skulls,
things like that. There's quite a bit of controversy, but also a lot of interest in, and there's certainly breeds that are bred for those features, not necessarily for bad reasons.
Yep.
Comment on that.
Well, I mean, we're the breeding that we're seeing taking place that is hurting the whole reputation of these animals is the backyard breeding. That, you know, they're trying to make a quick buck, and they're taking any breed and breeding it with another breed. Some of them breed for those traits with a big strong chest and the large skulls, things like that. But the problems we are having are with the irresponsible breeder.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's taking these dogs and just breeding them multiple times. And we see just an abundance of litters across the board.
So at this conference, what are some of the progressive approaches we can take both at the animal control and within our community to kind of get on top of this particular fear-based issue?
Well, the communities that are going to be successful are going to be the communities that attack the pet owner. Bad responsible owners. Those are going to be, and you can do that by spay-neuter enforcement. You've got to have enforcement. A good licensing program in your community is going to be very successful. That gets you to the front door and has that conversation with them. Spay-neutering, of course, is very beneficial. And the licensing, the reason those work together is it's beneficial to them because the license is a lot cheaper if they spay or neuter their pet. And not to mention the benefits of the medical benefits that go along with a spayed or neutered pet, keeping it at home. It reduces the likelihood of jumping the fence, chasing cars, chasing people, having more litters, that sort of thing, aggression, all those. So you get to have that conversation while you're on that front door. But education, you've got to have education, enforcement, spaying, neuter programs. You have to have access in your community to veterinary services. These people that we deal with can't even afford to drive to the vet, much less pay the vet. You know. And now these aren't clients that a veterinarian would see anyway. These are people that we need to get to, and we need to provide them services that they are not seeking simply because they can't afford them and they can't get to them. We've got to get to those people and stop that cycle of repeating that animal behavior.
And speaking of that, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of weeks ago, not with dogs, but you had some kind of a program of spay-neuter for cats. How did that turn out?
The Tom Cat Neuter Fest. Makes a lot of men cringe. But they're quick and easy. So we did a little over 50 cats in about 3 hours, and that was $15. In some cases, we did it for 10 if they couldn't afford that. And that included their rabies and their distemper shot. Volunteer veterinarians did it, and we did it at the shelter. And so we hope to do a lot more of those. We have a feline fix-it program, which a lot of people don't know about, and that's just $25 for a female cat to get spayed or neutered, and a male cat is $20. And so they can call the shelter and get that information. But that's anytime. Just call us. I mean, we want to fix fix those cats. I mean, it's the biggest problem we've got is cats, even more so than the pit bull problem.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you so much. Thank you for all your great, great comments today.
Yeah, we've been talking this morning with Jamie McAloon-Lampman, the Executive Director of the Ingham County Animal Control. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It.
Always fun.
And Rick, what a great show we've had. I mean, this topic seems to continue to go on, and we'll keep talking about it from all sides. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host, Rick Pruse, this is Lee Cohen saying to all of you, have a great weekend and a great week. We'll see you next week for the Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Have a great week, everybody.